You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, a podcast for diehard Cleveland Indians fans, presented to you by WaitingForNextYear.com. Now, here are the hosts, Matt and Todd Dairy.
Yes, another week, everybody, the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, right here at WaitingForNextYear.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Matt and Todd with you. It's a Monday, August the 2nd. We turn the page on July into August. Trade deadline has passed. Tribe, Guardians, whatever you want to call them, have made some moves. Certainly an entertaining weekend with the games in Chicago against the White Sox. We'll get into that. Todd, we have a busy show today for sure. We're brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry and Breaking Tea at T-shirts as well. Where do you want to start, man? Saturday night was a wild game. Yesterday was a wild game. The team is battling, but it's obvious that as many of the national writers have written, well, the division's already been won by the White Sox, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. You take the ball and roll with it today. I feel like Chet Kopech. Your dime, your dance floor.
You know what you should have said to me? What's up? Talk to me.
That's right.
Here are my thoughts. This weekend was, well, first of all, this week in general was very interesting. And it kind of just showed what the Indians are, which is right now a 500 team playing kids. They split with the Cardinals, which those Tuesday, Wednesday games against the Cardinals, I feel like happened a month ago. I don't know about you, but you had the big win on Wednesday afternoon. But this weekend series against the White Sox, it was like old school rivalry baseball.
It was.
I really enjoyed it. There was so much between the game on Friday night, which 99 threw away, and then Saturday's back and forth affair, which I have said was the best game of the year in my opinion, and then Sunday's and the two times with Jose Abreu getting hit with the bases loaded and that fucking asshole old man get off my lawn piece of crap Tony La Russa. I don't care that he's in the Hall of Fame, the genius. Get him out of the sport. He is such a piece of shit.
He's a problem. Major League Baseball needed to step in, because the reason why somebody is going to get hurt had nothing to do with anybody getting hit over the weekend and had everything to do with him trying to cause a scene and cause a stir both on Saturday night or Friday night. And on Sunday afternoon, yesterday the same thing.
It was Friday and Sunday.
I mean,
night was when he hit Karinchak, 99, hit Jose Abreu in the head with the bases loaded. Why would he hit a guy in the head with the bases loaded?
Right. No.
And I think the score was either tied.
It was tied. It was 5-4. It was 5-4.
Okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember if it was tied or if it was 5-4. He's not hitting the guy in the head.
Of course not.
And you could see immediately, listen, as whatever I feel about 99, he completely felt bad. You could see it. And Roberto went down, and here comes that old fuck running out, which was laughable. And that would be a meme forever. And he pushes Roberto Perez. Yeah,
you don't
out of the way.
Yeah, you don't put your hands on our player. You don't do that. You don't do that. You do not put your hands on another team's player. You don't touch somebody else's player. That was complete Bush League. It's par for the course with him. This is a guy that was drinking and driving recently. Get out of here.
Best friend is Bobby Knight. What else do you need to know about this individual?
Exactly. Yesterday, same thing. He comes out. Cal Quantrill's going to hit Jose Abreu and force in a run again. Come on. Our guys are pitching him inside. The guy's one of the best hitters in the game and the reigning MVP. Anything out over the plate, this guy extends and hits to all fields. The one place he's a little susceptible is inside and high, and that's where we pitched him. And unfortunately, he got hit a bunch of times this weekend, but none of them were on purpose. Get out of here with that. And you notice that his players didn't hit any of our people because his players know that he's full of shit. Anybody can manage that team. That team's loaded.
Yeah, they are a very good team, and it was a fun weekend series. That Saturday game was just unbelievable, and there were so many things that went on, and I think, you know, in discussing the topics, the game is going to come up a bunch of times. So here's where I think we should start. Beginning of the week, at the beginning of the week, you get the trade deadline jump with Cesar Hernandez getting traded to the White Sox in return for Connor Pilkington, a left-handed. He was a college starter at Mississippi State. He comes in. He's going to be slotted in Double A. It seems like a nice return for someone who, I love what Cesar Hernandez gave to his team. Nice season and a half here. But as you and I have discussed many times, where this organization is most loaded and most major league ready is up the middle. You got a bunch of guys who you can learn about to play second base. Cesar's 30. Get a club option next year for $6 million that they most likely were not going to pick up. So to pick up somebody who you're probably going to immediately put on your 40-man roster or protect this offseason, you know, that's a win. That's a win. So, you know, you're going to look at second base and see what you got there. We'll get into the trades in a minute, but on that same day, it was announced that Terry Francona, longtime manager of the Indians now, is going to take the rest of the season off because of health problems. And he's having his hip replaced. I think today he was having hip replacement. You know, anybody who watches this team and watches Tito waddling out to the mound,
it's rough.
Walking boots.
Rough.
You could tell. And when he spoke to the media when they had the name change, he just did not look well. I mean, he's always, you know, listen, he's always funny and it's smiling and, you know, he's good with the media and all that, but you could just tell physically he's just not there. And I believe he said, listen, if I can't give my all, I can't be out there. I got to take care of myself. So the team's now been turned over to DeMarlo Hale. So I will let you take it from there. What are your thoughts?
No, I feel terrible for Tito. He's done such a remarkable job. He's the face of this franchise. He's one of the leaders. You know, the other day when they unveiled the name and everything last Friday with the Guardians and everything else, Tito was front and center. You know, the people that are in charge of this thing are, you know, Paul Dolan, obviously, and then the front office with, you know, Cerninetti, and then you got Tom Hamilton and Tito Francona. That's our franchise, man. You know, you wouldn't have had that announcement without Hammy emceeing, and it wouldn't have been the same without Tito chiming in. The job that he's done has been unbelievable. You know, nationally, sometimes we get mocked for being this low budget, cheap, you know, underdog team. But the one saving grace, at least on the face of it, for people that are casual baseball fans is, man, they got themselves a heck of a manager and leader in Terry Francona. So you're right. I mean, he doesn't look well. He looks out a little out of shape, and he isn't able to move much. So, you know, just limping on the leg, and then he's got the toe, then he's got the hip, then he's got this and that, and he had heart issues in the past, so they got to get him right. And I think it's the right move right now. I know there's been some questions on why Sandy Alomar is not the interim manager, because he was last year, but DeMarlo Hale has more managerial experience going back to the minor leagues. He's been the bench coach, and most likely you move the bench coach up, and they left Sandy where he is doing the catching duties as catching coach and first base coach. So I have no issue with that. I think one day when Tito does step down, and I don't think he's going anywhere, I think he'll be back next year. I think that's the plan. I don't think Sandy Alomar is going to be the manager. I just don't feel like this organization feels like they're handing it over to him, because if they would have handed it over to him this year, that would have told us something. But they're not. So I think Tito's going to manage next year. I do. I just think they got to get him right. And right now is the right time. The season is probably over unless we make some sort of run, but playing all these young players and having all these injuries, I don't see them doing that.
You know, Tito, I think, is 7 wins away from becoming the all-time winning its manager in Cleveland baseball history, soon to be Guardians history. So I think he wants to come back and get that, number one. And number two, this is a guy like the head coach of your alma mater, the Syracuse Orange basketball team, Jim Boeheim, who's going to die on – I feel like he will not know what to do if he is not on the bench or he is not – you know what I mean? Like Boeheim is going – is how old is Jimmy at this point?
76.
76, okay? And he doesn't – he doesn't.
No, he's not. He's not. He's not going anywhere. No, he's going nowhere.
You said this to me all the time. He's going to die on that bench. I feel like Tito is the same way. He needs to be around the ballpark. He's not a married guy. You know, he's got his kids, but whatever. He is married to the game. So I think he's just going to be there, you know, as long as he can physically handle it. So I do think he'll be back next season. To your point about Sandy, you know, last year Sandy was the bench coach only because Brad Mills basically retired to take care of his family after.
Yeah, it was the COVID. Yeah, COVID thing too. He opted out.
He opted out. But so DeMarlo Hale this year was the new bench coach. They could have made Sandy the bench coach. They didn't. And listen, this is another topic for another day. And you know, Sandy Alomar is also Cleveland Indians baseball and a great ambassador,
legend,
team in the
sure.
city, and a wonderful man. But you and I both agree that he is not manager material. If he was, he would have gotten a job by now elsewhere.
He's interviewed. He's interviewed for years.
And he can stay here as long as he wants. I love him. And you know what? If they ended up making him the manager after Tito, I'd be thrilled for him, and it would be great. But I don't think he's their long-term manager. I think they have other guys in the organization that they're higher on. I think they're higher on Sarbaugh. I think they're higher on Andy Tracy. You know, there's plenty of guys that I think are ahead of him. So I just, you know, to wrap this part up, I just wish Tito the best. I hope his health, you know, gets better enough to where he can manage again and lead this team, because I do think with the new name and the new branding, you want that strong voice out there promoting it. So
yeah,
best wishes and, you know, best health to the great Terry Franco.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. He's the man. He's only 62, by the way, Tito.
Wow.
I think that's right. I think
I think you're right.
It's not
well,
like, you know.
It. He played in like 1988. He was on the Indians. So that seems about right.
I mean, 62. So, you know, you got the guy on the other side that we were screaming at all weekend, La Russa, who's in his mid-70s. You know, out there. So I think that, you know, Tito's still a young dude. He's got to get well. So, you know, I think that was a pretty big move and a pretty big headline. And the Indians, I think, are doing the right thing by allowing him to step away, get these surgeries. And then, like you said, hopefully, you know, he comes back next year and is rejuvenated and is really 100% healthy and not starting the spring with still some lingering things around him. Like you mentioned with trade.
Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was going to say, like you mentioned with the trade deadline, though, you know, we said this last week. I mean, nobody was more excited when the Indians acquired Eddie Rosario this offseason than we were. And, man, what a bust. I mean, it just traded to the Braves for basically cash and Pablo Sandoval, who would never have donned an Indians uniform, and then immediately got DFA'd. That should tell you about the market for Eddie Rosario. Just a quick thought on that, Todd, because I don't think we need to spend that much time on it. Yeah. He was a disappointment.
Yeah, very much so. And you and I were, oh my God, we talked about this last week. You and I were so excited when we got him. And he was such a disappointment. But, you know, as stated before, he's not a part of the future. There's no reason to keep him around. He's not healthy. And we have so many young outfielders that we need to get regular at bats. And at this point, you know, when you're a 500 baseball team, 9 games out of first and most likely not going to catch the second wild card, you need to learn about those guys, especially with that 40-man roster crunch coming up. So it was the right decision. I wasn't sad to see him go. I was just disappointed by how things went.
So then they go out and trade Uncle Phil Maton, who had done a nice job in the bullpen, wasn't always used in high leverage spots in the ilk of Shaw, Karinchak, Class A, and to an extent Sandlin, we're kind of all ahead of him on the pecking order. Brian Shaw is still here, and that's another topic for another time. He's losing it again. But, you know, to trade Phil Maton to the Astros to get Miles Straw, at first I was like, man, it was weeks ago on this show when we were talking about Houston and all the young guys that they've recycled and brought up, not recycled, but cycled in and brought up with all the injuries that they've had. And Miles Straw is a guy that to me is an extremely attractive player in terms of his speed, his defense in center field. He puts the bat on the ball. He rarely strikes out. If you saw his at-bats this weekend, he battles. He doesn't strike out. And, you know, Bradley Zimmer strikes out a lot. So to pick up Miles Straw and have him under team control for the next, you know, four more years after this.
I think it's five total. They have 5 years of club control. 2026, they can pick, you know, they can.
Right.
It's the last year of arbitration for him.
So I loved it. I thought it was a great move. Right-handed bat. We seem to be left-handed heavy at times. So I love that move. And you can already see in the outfield with his pathetic as this outfield defense has been all season, that Miles Straw takes charge out there. You already see it.
You know why? Because he's a real center fielder. Hey, listen, you know how I feel about Zimmer. Zimmer does a nice job in center field for the most part. He ran down a ball this week against the Cardinals that was an unbelievable over-the-shoulder catch on the dead sprint, which was great. And you know, say what you want about Zimmer. But Straw is this guy. First of all, he's one of the fastest guys in the game. He plays great defense. I see a lot of, oh, they got themselves a right-handed Zimmer. He's much better than that. He is. And I like that they got him. You and I are both Uncle Phil Maton fans. But, you know, you got to trade sometimes when you want a major league-ready guy who's got long-term potential. You got to give something to get something. And as much as I love Phil, he was inconsistent at times, and they do have a lot of these young arms coming up in double and triple A that'll be able to replace him in the next year or so. There's going to be some turnover for sure, but I think it was a smart move. You and I have been on this podcast and over and over and over again talking about all these guys are the same and these outfielders are not good. Well, you just got yourself the guy who was starting in center field for a first place team for the last 3 months. So I thought it was a great move. When you texted me that, I was like, is this for real? I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
The Astros gave up on him. And you read a lot from the Houston media. Like they were
great
very
guy.
Surprised.
Right. Great guy. Clubhouse guy. Immediately called Michael Brantley. Was like, hey, tell me about Cleveland. You know, some guys just drop their head or take the 48 hours to not even show up. This guy immediately got in an airplane, got there 2 hours before the game on Saturday. And he's just he's a ball player. And he's better than Bradley Zimmer. This right-handed Zimmer talk is ridiculous. No, Miles Straw is not a 300 hitter. No, he doesn't have an OPS over 800 or, heck, even over 700 right now. But this is really the first full-time, full season that they've given him full at-bats, full-time at-bats. And hitting from the right side, I like that. I think we've been too left-handed heavy at times. And like you said, I mean, a couple of times this weekend, you saw balls that were hit into right center or left center that he immediately took charge. The defense is abysmal, all right? It's so bad. And up the middle, you have to be good defensively. And right now, the Indians are horrific defensively at shortstop. They're not good defensively at second and haven't been all year. You know, catcher has been pretty good, but center field has been iffy. And yes, even Zimmer, who runs a bunch of balls down, even he's colliding with Daniel Johnson the other night. And the ball, you know, plops over the fence because him and DJ can't. You've got to take charge of that. And I know maybe he did and maybe it was Johnson's fault. And who knows? But still, I think if Straw's out there, that doesn't happen.
Let's talk about the outfield overall. Let's talk about the outfield, actually.
Do we have to?
Yes, we do. Because now
so
that Straw is in the mix. And Eddie Rosario is, you know, we know is not coming back. So basically right now what we're looking at is Daniel Johnson, Oscar Mercado, Bradley Zimmer, Miles Straw, Harold Ramirez are your five outfielders.
Correct.
The way Harold has been swinging the bat since he's gotten up here, Harold's out there every day and should be out there every day, you know, at a minimum 6 days a week, right? So which basically means Straw, and I'd like to, you know, now Straw is going to be a part of your future because of the club control you have. So I think he's going to get regular playing time, which is interesting was that Zimmer was playing right field yesterday. You had the Zimmer, Straw, Mercado outfield, which was something else. But I think that those three guys, four guys, you want to throw Daniel Johnson in the mix. There's no chance all four are going to be on the 40-man roster when this when the decisions are made. All four of those guys will not be around. Is that safe to say?
I would say so. And like we're going to do the pitching matchups a little bit later on, but like the Indians are going to face three lefties to start the week with the Blue Jays starting this afternoon. By the way, at 3:07, is it like Boxing Day or Canada Day or Thanksgiving in Canada Day or what? Why is this an afternoon game today?
I would imagine so because they're playing in Toronto for four straight days, so it's not like it's a getaway day. I don't know what day it is, but I think it's Canada Day. I think Americans don't know the answer.
I think it's very cool. Well, their national anthem is better than ours.
Canada rules!
It's
they
awesome.
Told us that when we were in the womb.
I mean, and that's number one. And number two, it's great that they have baseball back up there and Sky Dome, Rogers Center. You and I have been there. We saw some Glenn Allen Hill and Mark Witten action up there.
It was you and the executive producer and Cousin Adam. I was not there for that.
Cousin? All right.
It was Cousin. Yeah.
You weren't there?
No. You and Adam came down from Syracuse. And
that was opening day, 93.
Yeah. Glenn Allen Hill lost the ball in the lights.
93 or 94?
It was 92 because Glenn Allen Hill, it was the year after they won the World Series.
Yeah, because they got their rings and they got the, and we jumped out to an early lead and I was doing some heavy taunting. I think Mark Witten hit like a moonshot.
Oh, I love that.
When Mark Witten got into one, and then, you know, yesterday Brian Goodwin did that little cutesy bat flip on the home run, which everybody does now. It doesn't bother me anymore. But Mark Witten used to do some sick bat flips back in the day.
Oh, how about when his second stint with the Tribe in the ALCS against the Yankees in 98 when we hit back-to-back-to-back homers, and he hit it right-handed, and he flipped his bat like, oof, that was good. Ooh, that was good. But meanwhile, Brian Goodwin. You want to know something? Cousin Brian Goodwin, as you call him.
No relation.
It was so interesting because I'm happy that Brian Goodwin got that moment. But let's not forget that Brian Goodwin also dropped Yu Chang's triple, quote-unquote triple, in the Saturday night game, which was unbelievable.
By the way, I'm assuming, and they haven't seen anything yet about it, we're recording this on Monday morning, that Yu Chang's going to be the odd man out because they're bringing back Bobby Bradley from the bereavement list.
Andy Lai Morgan.
Andy Lai Morgan. So I'm assuming that Garza and Chang are going back down.
Well,
I can't see.
Here's the thing, though. Are they going to send? Well, I guess they Owen Miller and Chang at this point are the same person.
Yeah, but you have to play Owen Miller. You've got to see what you have.
They're not sending. Well, that was what I was going to say. They're not sitting Owen Miller. But what I was thinking was because they have three left-handers, maybe they don't send Chang down. But, like, again, Miller and Chang are essentially – they're all playing the same position. They both play first. They both play second. They both play short. They both play third. So it's the same guy. Yes, I believe Chang will most likely be sent down.
There's no reason to play Yu Chang anymore. I'm sorry. I know he – like, we've talked about 1,000 times what a great guy he is, but enough. Enough. I mean, the triple the other night, you're right. He hit the ball hard. The ball was flying out of the yard Saturday night. Flying. It looked like a fly ball that happened to go to the wall, and Goodwin dropped it and then couldn't find it. So my text to you was like, OMFG in all caps when that happened, because that inning was crazy. But, yeah, no. We need to see what Owen Miller has here, not Yu Chang. No. Absolutely.
And we got Owen actually had a nice weekend. He looked, was it Friday night? He had his first career homer.
Yep.
And I think sometimes this happens. There's a percentage, and it's always brought up. It's like, you know, Terry Pluto actually loves bringing up how guys the percentage of guys who come up, go back down, and then comes back up, and then they're, you know, here to stay. Owen Miller's not the first guy who came up with a lot of hype and then failed and had to go back down. Maybe you humbled him a little bit, went back to work down there in AAA and comes back up and is more comfortable and is not as nervous. Think about it. When he first came up, the way this team was going, everyone was talking about, when's Owen Miller coming? When's Owen Miller coming? And it was almost like we all expected him, and I'm guilty of this too, that he would just come up and he'd be great. But he wasn't, and I think he probably felt a lot of pressure. And now he knows he's here. He can just relax and play, and so hopefully that'll help him, at the plate, because he certainly looked very lost.
The first time around, yes. Yeah. And he had a great at-bat on Saturday night, which actually I think led to the Yu Chang triple, where he was down 0-2 in the count to Kopech or whomever it was, Ruiz, and fouled some pitches off, took some pitches, and drew a walk. And those were some big-time at-bats Saturday night. That was like a good – watching the young guys learn and grow Saturday night. And I know it's one win. I mean, they lost 2 out of 3 to the White Sox. They're a 500 team. They're 9 games back. Whatever, but you saw some growth on Saturday night, and Owen Miller needs to be playing. I don't need to see Yu Chang anymore. It's like seeing Josh Mandel tweets pop up. I don't need to see it anymore. I don't need to see that.
Well, you want to know something? First of all, Owen did. He walked right in front of the Austin Hedges single.
That's right. Yeah.
And it was the Chang triple, the best at bat of the year. Before Owen Miller's walk. Oscar Mercado is down. I believe he was down 0-2, worked it to full.
Yeah.
Down 6-4, and he just roped that double to get it to 6-5 that scored Franmil. And he came up, when he got to the base, I just felt so happy for him.
He was clapping at our bench.
He was clapping. You could tell he was just like, fuck yeah, man. Like, that was so exciting. I was so happy for him. Because you know how I feel about Mercado. I've wanted him to succeed for 3 years. So.
Yeah, another really good kid that you could tell wants to do well and was so down in the dumps last year. And I get it. Yeah. I mean, he lost all confidence. So you need to see – he needs to be playing, and it's going to be a tough call for this organization if they have to make it about what to do with Daniel Johnson or Mercado, or like you mentioned, Zimmer. But you can't have all of them. And like I was saying before, you got 3 lefties this week. But I think Daniel Johnson needs to play against some of these lefties. You can't sit him for 3 straight days. You've got to find out if he can hit a lefty, if he can push a ball the other way, something. I mean, but again, I'm not all that confident. I like Daniel. I was a fan when he was in the minors and loved him when they got him for Yan Gomes, but again, not performing well. And then
absolutely. I've been, talking to people inside of that building who say that, of those 3 guys, I'm not going to lump straw in there, but of those 3 guys, he's definitely the most talented, but there's something inherent that he's got this. I don't know if he's still upset that he was screwed over earlier in the year and last year, but he doesn't look relaxed. He looks nervous. He made a couple of really good plays in the field earlier in the year, but then there was that game last week that I went to where he made 2 terrible plays in the outfield, which ended up costing the Indians the game when 99 blew the save. And then he makes that, he and Zimmer bumping into each other at the wall and the ball going over the fence. I mean, this weekend, I don't know. I just worry he's 4A. I really do. I don't want him to be, because I'm with you. I thought this was going to be the guy this year that was going to emerge, and it has not worked.
No, and it was pretty public knowledge that he was ticked off when they cut him back in the spring, and say he was one of the first ones sent down, and that he moped and reportedly told the organization what he thought of him. And then went down to Columbus and didn't do all that much. And they waited a while before bringing him up. I mean, they were bringing Zimmer up before him, Mercado up before him, Bradley up before him. So he finally has gotten his chance on 2 separate occasions. The first one was almost like an emergency situation. He played like 3 games against the Twins and sent right back down. Now he's here to stay, but how good is he? Can he do this at this level? It's a big, big gap between AAA and the bigs, that is for sure. All right, Dairy Brothers Tribecast for this Monday, August 2nd, 4 with the Blue Jays, and 3 this weekend at home against the unnamed team if you look at the standings, like the unnamed team's fans do every day and remind me of it, they're obsessed with the Indians. I'm not obsessed with them. I don't care. They seem to be obsessed with passing the Tribe. So good for you guys. You guys are adorable. But they'll be in town this weekend. So seven games in 7 days. Let's get into Todd the schedule and certainly the bullpen. We got to do that because there's some people that don't look all that good anymore. We got to touch on that. But you got to tell us about Dr. Ben Hornstein. You know, when I was watching Cal Quantrill yesterday going crazy on the mound and then taunting the fans, just kind of he had some swagger. That's Ben Hornstein kind of swagger after a root canal.
Ben Hornstein-esque.
Totally.
I can tell you this. This weekend, I traveled to the great city of Charleston, South Carolina, with cousin Debbie, who also is a client of Dr. Ben Hornstein and the Center for Advanced Dentistry. And you know what? She's actually getting some Invisalign over there at the Center.
Yes.
You know, and you're never too old to, you know, take care of straighten your teeth if you want. This is someone who had braces twice as a kid, and as she got older, she didn't like the, you know, she decided that she wants her teeth to be more straight. So she's getting Invisalign over there at the Center for Advanced Dentistry. You know who else did?
Tell
your
me.
Nephew, my son, got his Invisalign as well over there. Yeah. So if you're looking for a dentist that does stuff like Invisalign or whatever it might be in terms of a regular mouth teeth cleaning or, you know, smile reconstruction like my cousin is doing, go on over cfad.net. You can see those two handsome men, Dr. Ben Hornstein, America's greatest dentist, and Dr. Sean Schlissel, of course, the future of the Center for Dentistry. Give them a call.
He's the Richie Palacios of dentistry.
He is. You know what? He's not Sandy Alomar Jr. He's going to get the job one day. So give them both a call. Hook them up. Tell them the Dairy Brothers sent you. 216-595-1710, right off of the Chagrin Boulevard exit in Beechwood, right there on Orange Place. Check them out at cfad.net, or like I said, give them a call, 216-595-1710. And the Center for Advanced Dentistry will hook you up with whatever you need. They're the best, nicest people. And again, if you love Cleveland sports and you want to take care of your teeth, there's no better place to do it than the Center for Advanced Dentistry.
I was texting the other day with the man that I think does the best job covering this baseball team, and that is one Zachary Meisel, the pride of Solon. And
south of Miles, thumbs down.
Oh, shots fired. Anyway, so Zach, he's wondering where the Cal Quantrill Cal Calm and Collected shirt is going to come out at BreakingTea.com. Now, I countered with maybe what we need is an ambassador of Quan for Quantrill shirt, just like from Jerry Maguire. So Cal Quantrill's cool as hell, man. I love that guy. I'm getting a 47 jersey. That guy was just all balls yesterday. But anyway, if we want to get a shirt done, whether it's Zach's idea with Cal Calm and Collected or whatever, or Ambassador of Quan, you do it at BreakingTea.com. They've got all the cool Tribe shirts. If you're a diehard fan and you love Jose Ramirez, and you're like, I need a Jose Ramirez shirt, yeah, you can get the jersey thing with the number 11, but they're changing the name, everything else. Go to BreakingTea.com/Derry, D-E-R-Y, and check out the Home Run Pitch t-shirt. There's the other Jose Ramirez, there's two different Jose Ramirez t-shirts. If you're a big Bobby Bradley fan, the new Bobby Bombs shirt is there. Unfortunately, going on the clearance rack soon will be the Loop, there it is, Jordan Luplow shirt, as he is now a member of Dick Vitale's Tampa Bay Rays. But regardless, any of the shirts, Zach Plesac, one Bieber Fever, you get them at BreakingTea.com/Derry. Big Browns fan? You excited about the soon-to-be 14-3 and Super Bowl bound? Super Bowl, Super Browns, yeah. Go to BreakingTea.com/Derry. Shout out Ken and Anthony for that. Or Cavs, even. I'm assuming they're going to make an Evan Mobley shirt. Kendrick Perkins called him the next Bill Russell. So you can get Cavs gear as well at BreakingTee.com/Dairy. So go to Breaking Tee right now. They are the best. They have the best shirts around. All right, so the bullpen, you know, Todd, now that Uncle Phil's gone, it's interesting. Poor Brian Shaw, you know, we've always been Shaw dog fans. But unfortunately, the velocity's down. The guy pitches every day. And Trevor Stephan and Sam Henches are on the roster, right? You know that.
They didn't pitch the entire weekend.
Right. So, like, at some point, those guys have to pitch. I'm assuming that DeMarlo Hale is thinking, I need to give this guy a break and a little bit of a few days of a rest, because anytime Shaw came into the game at the start of the year, he was locked down in money. And now trade deadline has passed. I'm assuming they tried to move him, didn't get any takers, and now he can't get anybody out. Like, it's not good, because I know how reliable he is, but right now the radar gun's not lighting up like it did early in the season.
You know, I thought, well, again, it's so new, but I thought that Trevor Stephan could have maybe taken the role of Phil Maton. But obviously that did not happen this weekend. Shaw's cooked. There's no two ways around it. It was a nice story, but I'm not accusing him of cheating. But it's not a coincidence that both he and Karinchak have totally fallen off the table. Excuse me, 99, have both fallen off the table since the since MLB decided to crack down on using the spider tack. Shaw, just the velocity's not there. I think Tito overused him early. I mean, we talked about this in May, that he was pitching him too often, and I don't understand. And maybe DeMarlo Hale will change things up. I did not understand the going to him in high leverage situations. It seemed as though when Maton was still here, Tito had moved him up in the pecking order and kind of was giving him the seventh. I don't understand why there's this hesitance to use Sandlin more in these key slots. To me, right now, Sandlin should be the guy who's your, if you're saying that 99 and Class A are your top two guys that you're going to use in the eighth and ninth, regardless of, you know, who's pitching where, Sandlin's the guy who should be pitching in front of those two, in my opinion. But yet Shaw continues to get used. That's another guy, like you just said, I don't understand, you know, obviously they tried to die. To me, if they traded Maton, I'm sure they had the feelers out. Hey, can we get anything for Brian Shaw? He's not a part of the future. If he wants to come back next year, I'm sure he would, you know, for the right money. But obviously nobody wanted him. The other guy who we saw this weekend who continues to struggle, and twice this week, well, actually it wasn't twice this week. It was last Friday or two Fridays ago, is Nick Wittgren.
Well, here's the thing about Nicky. Cousin Nicky did a great job either Friday or Saturday. Maybe it was Friday. And it looked like, all right, he's getting it back. And then yesterday, he pitches the eighth and mows them down. I think he struck out the side. And it's like, all right. And then he comes back for the ninth, which, because of the usage of Class A on Saturday night, where he had to pitch two innings, and what a job that Manny did Saturday night in closing the game.
Hey.
I love that, man.
Five out save.
And caught the ball on the 3-6-1 double play.
Which was a miracle.
Yeah, Chang to a mad to Class A.
If you could have only have seen me under the table at dinner at 10:30 Eastern with my phone under the table after that, fist pumping.
that was
keep it from the guests. That was good.
that was something else. But yesterday, I mean, the 3-1 pitch he threw to Goodwin, you just knew. I mean, you're like,
you could have hit that out.
That's the struggle. His ERA's over 5.5, and he got blown up on Twitter, and his wife got attacked. Just unacceptable.
Which is terrible.
Unacceptable.
Just terrible.
No one should have to go through that. The guy cares. No. The guy tries hard. He's not had a good year. I'm not giving up on him yet. But once you take Maton out of this equation, now you've got to, you know, they added Garza for the weekend. I don't know if he'll stay. Like we mentioned, Hinchis and Stephan are there, but they never pitch. But, you know, my concern with Shaw, and certainly with James, is that these guys, like you mentioned, the sticky stuff, the spin rate for Karinchak, and I think Justin Latta pointed this out at Indians, Prospect Insider, is that the spin rate's just way down. He's just not the same guy. So he's got a lot of talent. He's a young kid and, you know, can throw really hard. But right now, you're right. I mean, then that pen's been used a lot. I mean, it seems like every win the Indians have is some one-run nail-biter. It'd be nice.
The whole weekend was close. Every game's close. You and I have been talking about this the entire year. So there isn't many opportunities where these guys can just kind of, you know, there was the game the other night, the other day, the day game that they beat the Cardinals. I saw a lot of complaining that, oh my God, what is Tito doing? Or you know, using Class A and Karinchak in a 5-run game. Well, at that point, yes, I can understand why. But they had an off day Monday, and neither of them pitched Tuesday. And then there was going to be an off day Thursday. So these guys also can't sit for 5-6 straight days either without working. But yes, those two, and Shaw in particular, were just completely overused. And so when you and when you have this many guys in the bullpen, you're trying to figure it out. At this point in the season, you're going to have to try with some of these younger guys and give them some of these higher level high leverage situations. I mean, what could it hurt to you know, give Sandlin more of an opportunity in those spots, or even, you know, have Henches come in? You know, it's an inning where it's, you know, they're down 3-2 or something, or 3-1, and they have two lefties coming up. Why not throw Henches out there, give him a shot? Henches to me is your future power left-handed reliever in the bullpen. Let's see it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, the Indians don't score enough runs. The offense is not good enough. So all of these games, it seems like, have to come down to the bullpen. And early in the year, the pen was amazing. One of the best in the game. But, you know, over the last month and a half, I think the bullpen ERA is something over 5. There have been too many meltdowns. So it's part of having a young team and, you know, trying to figure a few things out. I'm not sure who's going to be next in the pecking order. If they bring up a guy like Francisco Perez or something, the lefty from down in Columbus who's been pretty good, who was in Double-A just a few weeks ago. But
only problem with him is I don't think he's on the 40-man. And right now, you know, when you're looking at that 40-man, you got to kind of pick and choose, because you know, you're going to have those big decisions, and he'll probably eventually be on the 40-man at some point. But, you know, that's a whole nother topic. But
all right, last thing before we go through the week. You're on the bandwagon. You're with me now, and I'm proud of you.
I have joined you. Yes, I have.
Ahmed Rosario is horrible, and I've said it all year. I can't stand watching him play shortstop. Yesterday cost us a run because he's out there in short left field thinking he's Omar freaking Vizquel. Get away from the outfielder. What are you doing? The ball hit Saturday night by Jose Abreu that went for an RBI single to make it 12-11, where, I don't know, it looked like a grounder to short on his backhand side, and he olays it like Roger Dorn. I mean, how much longer do we have to watch this guy play shortstop? We know he's not the shortstop next year. We know he's not the shortstop in 2 years. He shouldn't be the shortstop today. Can we get Andrés Giménez? Can we get Gabe Arias? Can we get somebody up here that's going to be the shortstop? Can you put Owen Miller at short for a few days a week? Something. Clement, something. This guy destroys our defense playing that position every day. It's brutal.
After that play, where he just you texted me that, first of all, that play was so bad I couldn't believe that he did not get to that ball, and you texted me, and you're right, because I said I can't take this anymore. I've joined the club. I can't watch him play short anymore. His first step is terrible. Like it's like he has no instincts on how. And here's the thing: what's so crazy? He's so fast on the base paths.
Yeah,
he's a great base runner, and I do think he is a good hitter, and it's in there. I know you don't think so, but I still think he can hit. But man, his first step is just so bad. He has no instincts at short, and you can see why the Mets had went to Andrés Giménez last year after watching Ahmed out there. You called it from day one. The guy's not a shortstop. He
nope.
can't play the position.
No.
So
the Mets drafted Kumar Rocker. I couldn't even sign him.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm going to take a different side.
Well, I know it's Boris and
Scott
it's the
Boris
system
is right. Playing games and it's bullshit. And
yes, but still, that's vintage Mets.
Yeah.
Vintage Mets.
Yes.
But I don't. We don't need to go there today. But you know, you're right. It's just if the Mets even know that this guy can't play shortstop and they gave him 3 years. This is not a 22, 23-year-old kid anymore. And I know, oh, he's a former number one pick. He's a former top prospect. Okay, great. Enough. He should be playing a few days a week against lefties. I don't know where you play him. I mean, I know, you know, that's moved him to second a few times. He should not be at shortstop. Shortstop is a premium position. The ball is hit to shortstop a lot or in that vicinity. If there's a ground ball hit there that's not hit right to him, and I know Johnny Peralta didn't have the greatest range, but Johnny Peralta had great hands. Great hands. Ahmed Rosario has hands of stone. I mean, it's brutal.
And then yesterday.
He plays every
like you said,
freaking
that,
day.
Yeah, never gets a day off.
Every day.
When he dropped that ball over the shoulder or tried to make that catch and didn't, I'm just like, come on, man. Really? That was so bad. And Oscar was there to make that play.
Of course. It's the first pitch of the fifth. Fifth inning would have been one out, nobody on. Now you're mm-hmm. putting traffic out there for Quantrill, who had already thrown a lot of pitches. And I know he's great in the clubhouse, and I talked to some people close to the team. They're like, oh, Ahmed Rosario is the least of our worries. They love him. Oh, great. But not at shortstop. You want to put him in center field a couple days a week or left field? Fine. Put him in the outfield. I don't care. But just not shortstop.
I'm with you on that. By the way, Francisco Perez, not on the 40-man roster. Here, the guys who are, this Alex Young, they will get a look at some point. The guy they claim from Arizona.
Oh, yeah, the lefty.
I got to believe at some point. These are the guys that are in the minors that are on the 40-man. Kyle Nelson, who you forgot is even there. Scott Moss, Cam Hill, and Logan Allen.
Those are the pitchers
on the 40-man.
What about Kyle Troy?
What about Kyle Toy? you know what else? When we were talking about the outfield, it's like we forgot Josh Naylor still exists.
Yeah, no, I'm a Naylor fan. He'll be a part of the mix next year for sure. There's going to be a trade made too in the week. There's going
to
be a trade made in the winter to acquire a starting pitcher or something. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. You know, people forget Tyler Freeman. To me, in a couple of years, Arias is going to be at short, and Tyler Freeman's going to be at second. The question is, where's Jimenez going to be, and where's Jose going to be? You know, because someone's going to be moving to third. Yeah, to me, Jose should be at third base for the rest of his career. But there's going to be some sort of movement somewhere, because there's a ton of really good prospects and a ton of guys coming that are all up the middle players, like you said, shortstop, second baseman, and Nolan Jones is going to be an outfielder. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
By the way, I think his future is either going to be at first base or the outfield, because I really do think that whatever ends up happening with ownership and the new, you know, the minority owner, whoever, if it's Stanley Middleman or whoever, I think the first order of business is going to be to try to extend Jose Ramirez. For several reasons, but no more than a goodwill gesture to the fans. But to be honest, that's the guy you should be keeping and you should be building your team around.
He's the best player on the team. He's still very young. And
speaking of which, by the way, before we go, rumor has it that Ahmed Rosario is better than the redacted ex shortstop. That's what I heard that from a Tribe expert on Twitter. Is that true?
Wow, that's bad. That was a really bad look.
That guy also is a big fan of bunting and my favorite ex-president.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Hey, now.
That's a rough look. That post-game show is
rough.
That's Wonder Bread City. All right, so let's go to the pitching matchups. Hey, let's go to that Tito Zoom presser. What'd you think? What'd you think of Morgan? Today's and that's no knock on Andre. Don't take it that way, people. We love Andre. Now.
He's a friend of the pod.
He has to carry the load.
Yes, he does.
All right, so four games against the Blue Jays starting this afternoon. Eli Morgan is back. Of course, the last time he faced the Blue Jays was in a windstorm. Eli Morgan against Robbie Ray today. Tuesday night, Zach Plesac against Ryu, the left-hander, who's been very good this year. Steven Matz on Wednesday for the Blue Jays against J.C. Mejia. And then Thursday, the roller coaster that is Tristan McKenzie against Ross Stripling. So three straight lefties for the Blue Jays before Stripling on Thursday. Then the Indians come home. It's fireworks night on Friday night. You should have heard Hammy the other day pumping up the fireworks. It was pretty sweet. What do they call it again? It's Rock and Blast. Folks, let me tell you. I mean, Hammy was on his game. Cal Quantrill against the great Matt Manning, the savior.
Unnamed legend. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Look at his ERA. He's a legend. Eli Morgan against Tyler Alexander, the lefty spot starter type. And then on Sunday, Zach Plesac against Willie Peralta. So looks like we avoid Mize and Scooble.
And we avoid Jose Berrios, who pitched yesterday for Toronto.
Correct.
That's the
correct.
One pitcher we don't see.
Correct. But as the unnamed fans call Mize and Scooble, Glavine and Maddox. So we avoid them this weekend. So that's who we see. But look, Toronto can really mash, man. And Springer's back. Springer break. So George Springer back is, Toronto really can hit. So we got to be on our game pitching wise, but hopefully get like a split against the Jays and then take two out of three and we'll feel good doing next week's show. But this was like rock 'em, sock 'em robots. That's what Underwood said the other day. Great show, man. It was fun though.
Yeah, listen, when we were putting those topics together, it was like we had so much to discuss, and then the executive producer hit us with, you didn't even have Tito and DeMarlo Hale on the list. I was like, we had so much to discuss. This was a crazy, crazy week on and off the field, and, I was excited to do this pod. I had the topic list ready before yesterday's game.
You did. You were locked and loaded. And shout out to the executive producer Jeremy. That's a man's man right there. Took his wife on a nice, just the two of them weekend. Shout out to him. That's awesome.
Full week. What are you talking about? Full week.
Full week. I should say least. So that was good for him. To get away. So, all right, buddy. Well, big game. A big game this afternoon. We'll be all over it. We'll be back next week.
Hit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!